بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and all mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue our discussion on Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was known as Imam Rabbani. We have already discussed few discussions we had on him already, few majlises. Last week, just to recap, the important aspects we discussed was the concern Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi Alayhi had for others, that if somebody who was committing any sin, it would cause him pain and he would become restless regarding that person and he would make dua for that person. And whenever he saw some person engage in sin, he would never criticize the person, but he would make sincere dua for that person so that the person gains hidayat and comes onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. So his heart would always cry out for such people. He would not even curse the worst of his enemies. And he would not rejoice if any of his enemies were suffering any type of ailment or any type of problem. If somebody mentioned to him that certain enemy of theirs has suffered some type of disease or illness and they would show some type of excitement, Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi Alayhi immediately would reprimand them. As far as entertaining visitors and guests, this again is a salient feature in most of our mashayikh and akabir, that they would always show concern that the guests were taken care of. And he would himself feed them right till the latter part of his life when he was unable to see and he was forced to eat at home. Then too he would be concerned whether his guests receive any food or not. Bay'ah, as far as bay'at is concerned, he would try his level best that people go to other mashayikh to take bay'at, and he would try and avoid giving people bay'ah until Hazrat Hajim Dadullah Ramadullah had instructed him that if any person genuinely comes and is sincere, then you should not refuse them. It was Mawlana's tabiat, his nature, that he would prefer them going somewhere else. But if he saw a genuine, sincere talab and quest within them, then he would give them bay'ah. At times, it was through his inner spiritual light that he had, which we term as firasa. And Rasulullah has mentioned, اِتَّقُوا فِرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. That beware of this inner spiritual vision and sight of a believer, because he sees with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were people who came to his khanka and they pretended that they were his murid, or they wanted to take bay'ah to him, and they pretended as though they had such a strong liking for him and they really came there for a spiritual, for islah and reformation. Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi Ali could sense that these people were fake, they were not genuine. Either the person was a spy, or he came for other purposes just to get some meal at the khanka of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, and he would refuse giving them bay'ah. So we discussed few incidents of this nature. Then as far as hadiya was concerned, Hazrat Mawlana was very particular about accepting gifts. He would not just accept gifts from any person. And yes, there were some people who were his khadims, attendants, and if they gave him, presented some gift to him, then he knew their condition, the financial condition, he knew that they were more deserving, and then he would tell them to take, he would instruct them to take that gift. But if he saw that this caused them some pain and grief, and they felt bad, then he would accept it, make them happy, and now he would confer this as a gift to them. Anything that came unexpectedly, he would never refuse it. He realized that it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He treated people according to their status. And remember, the governess of Bhopal, when she originally had that intention, and she had a very sincere and genuine intention to take bay'ah to Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, who was the sheikh of most of these elders and akabir. But by the time she undertook the journey to Makkah, he had already passed on. And then she very sincerely, via some of her people, sent letters to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali that she wanted to take bay'ah to him, and he had given his conditions, and finally he accepted her bay'ah, And just about 2 weeks after that, he had passed away. So she was very fortunate indeed that she took bayah to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi. She was a very pious person and she was very sincere. So these were some of the things we discussed last week. Inshallah, in tonight's majlis, some more important points where we look at these people's lives and we see what lesson we can take and how we can bring these things in our lives. Hazrat did not like his murids to develop the habit of remaining aloof from others and breaking relations. If he found this trait, this quality in any of them, he would make efforts to remove it. We'll understand from the incidents. Munshi Qadir Bakhsh Sahab Bulandshahri pledged bayat to him. So he became a murid of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi. He returned home, engrossed in dhikr, as the prescription that was given to him by Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Within a few days, he started to experience some ajeeb condition and kayfiyat. He was overjoyed with the pleasure of these experiences. Now this is, we call such a person a mubtadi. He's a beginner in this line of tasawuf. And now he's making the dhikr and he's really sincere and genuine. And he started getting some type of kayfiyat and enjoyment. So the thought crossed his mind that if he could experience such joy whilst remaining aloof from people and engaging in dhikr for such a short while, imagine the extent of joy he would attain if he breaks relationship completely from this world and he occupies himself in complete dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some cave, in some mountain, or in some secluded spot in a jungle. So this was the desire he had. Now he must break off all relationships with every other person, his family, friends, go into some seclusion, devote himself only in the dhikr of Allah. Brilliant intention. But look at what happens. No sooner did these thoughts enter his mind, this desire to remain in solitude started increasing. And his love for his wife and family started to diminish. Eventually he became restless in the presence of his children. He developed an aversion towards his relatives, recoiled from the coming and going of his friends. His relatives became distressed by this change in temperament. They started sweet-talking him, embracing him, begging him to tell them what they had done wrong. What is the reason of him being so strange? Why is he becoming so aloof from every person? Then they realized this was the effect of the dhikr that he was making, and this had caused him to desire solitude. So they realize now it's going to be very difficult for them to remove, take away this type of desire from his heart. When they felt convinced now that very soon he's going to leave them and go to the jungle, now they began to criticize and scold him, hoping that he'll feel ashamed and desist from such thoughts. His wife then said to him, "It seems you are no longer able to earn a living. That is why you want to abandon every person." His mother told him, it is the same Maulvi Sahab, referring to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi, who made him his murid. He has now taken away my son from me. I had only one support in my life, and it has slipped from me. I'm going to write to that Maulvi Sahab and tell him, you have separated the son from his mother. Now you tell us what we should do. To cut a long story short, Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Mirati Rahmatullah says that his family adopted every possible way and means and strategy, but it did not have the least effect on him. When Hazrat Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah finally came to know about his condition, he called for him. He summoned Munshi Qadir Bakhsh. When he arrived, Hazrat took him into his room, seated him near him, focused on his heart. This is what you call tawajjuh, and said, Mia Qadir Bakhsh, do you intend doing something which is completely against all the buzurgs of the silsila and against the practice of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Tell me, how will you be able to live if you should act against them? What benefit will it contain for you? I've heard that you intend leaving your wife, your children, your elderly mother, and that you intend living somewhere far away from them. Listen carefully. This can never happen. When Hazrat said this to him, the moment Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi reprimanded him a special love for his wife, children, mother gush forth from his heart. He developed an intense urge to quickly return to his home and to see their faces. He thus returned and lived in the same house with attachment and bond with his family. After this incident, not the slightest thought of leading a life of solitude then entered his mind again. So again, we understand from here that sometimes you and I, we get what we call is josh. And suddenly now, we want to abandon every pleasure that we had and our way of life, and we want to take a 180 degrees turn overnight, and this is very detrimental to us. We're just beginners. As the person continues, he progresses in this path, and of course with the guidance of his sheikh, and the ulama and mashaykh, they will guide him, nurture him, and then they're able to give him more and more advices and how he can become more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even living amongst his family and giving them their full right and spending the time, quality time with them, he will still not detach himself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the story, how many times we mentioned of Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, the great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the company of Rasulullah he felt so great and so happy and enjoyed some ecstasy as though he was seeing Jannat in front of him. And the moment he went home, this type of feeling was not as strong as it was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he actually felt that he had become a hypocrite. And he said, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become a hypocrite. And until finally he meets Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who feels the same. And when they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explains to them, and this is Islah and this is Tarbiyah, and that Nabi Akram said, Sa'atan wa sa'atan. Hey, some time you need to spend food with your family and some time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, a person not married, he got no rights upon him, he's living a life like that. He can spend more time in the path of Allah, more time making dhikr, etc. But a man who's got family, he's got children, it is necessary for him to give them. And this exactly, you look at the life of Rasulullah Pak, so balanced. Can you imagine the kafiyat Rasul had, the bond attachment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yet he found time to play with his grandchildren. And I mentioned previously, to such an extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving a khutbah to Sahaba. And when his grandsons enter the masjid, he leaves the khutbah. He goes running forward to his grandchildren, grabs them, kisses them, carries them. So again here, we do not go extremes. Now this person felt, no, I'm going to make zikr of Allah, I'm getting that enjoyment, so now I'll abandon my elderly mother, my wife and children. Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali immediately reprimanded him, made his islah, and made some tawajjuh on him, made dua for him, directed him towards what was correct, and we find the change in him immediately and the balance, and then he went back to his family, and of course, he still developed a great ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat had the special ability to analyze people's temperaments and consider their weaknesses and strengths. Now this is what a Shaykh Kamil has. He's able to detect the weakness of the person, of the murid, and analyze people's temperaments. By virtue of his rank in the sight of Allah, his inexperienced murids were engulfed by Allah's mercy. By virtue of his sincere submission to Allah, his spiritual children and young murids was showered with Allah's grace and affection at every step of the way. Hazrat did not like his murids to give up the halal and pure means of livelihood without any valid reason. This is another very important point. Person suddenly changes his life. Now he wants to give up even his halal rozi. So halal livelihood, there was no need to give up all this. He would not even hint in the direction that any Muslim should deliberately put himself through the test of desirable tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, many times, we don't understand complete deen. This is something we lack, especially in these times. What is tawakkul? Our understanding of tawakkul is different. We will read one or two incidents of some very pious wali of Allah, and we want to apply that tawakkul to us. Impossible. We haven't been through the mill. Haven't gone through the stages. What is the problem then when we cannot adopt that type of tawakkul for a long period? We give up, then we begin making statements of kufr. Our iman has not developed. Our yaqeen, not to that level. But it is easy for me to say that we believe only in Allah. Of course, that should be our yaqeen, iman, and I've got tawakkul upon Allah. And if I go outside and see one lion coming towards me, what I'll do? Will I show my tawakkul there? Every one of us will run. Everything, yes, the sahabi, Safina radiallahu anha, is mounted on the lion. They developed themselves in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, there are some people who will have that level of tawakkul, where they do not even bother the least bit where the rozi will come from. Meaning, even if no sustenance comes to them, they will never complain, they will never beg from any person. They will endure that poverty and hardship. You and I, we can't do that. After a couple of days, see, bhai, very heavy all this. So, tawakkul is extremely important. Quran is full of tawakkul. But we have to develop ourselves to that. We have to develop ourselves to that. We have to make an effort, a correct effort. And then Allah Ta'ala gradually gives the person the nur of taqwa, that tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, the khawas, the very special people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose incense we, of course, and we should read that. So it gives us some urge within our heart to try and develop some type of tawakkul. Again, we don't go extremes. You know, tawakkul only for buzrug, so we can't, no. We adopt the means, permissible means, that also, not having any conviction of the in the means. This is where we lose the balance. So you see, if I'm taking this precaution, or I'm adopting this means, that means nothing can happen to me. That is also incorrect. And Allah showed in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the knife could not slaughter. On the other hand, Sharia tells us to take the means, use the means. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, several places, several examples. And the reason why he adopted the means, to show his ummah. If Rasulullah did not adopt any means, and he just showed us that tawakkul, that without adopting means, you just have complete reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be very difficult for you and I. In the Uhud, he wore two armors, not one. One was sufficient, but two armors to protect himself, showing the ummah the importance of tawakkul. There's one incident, Nabiya Kareem, someone, one battle at night, he's resting with Sahaba, and the desire come, May yahrusuni al-layla. Imagine, Nabiya Kareem says, Allah protected me all the time. He says, who will protect me tonight? He hardly even says that, and suddenly he hears somebody coming. The clatter of his weapon, his sword. He said, who is it? It was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. What brings you here? Ya Rasulullah, the thought came to me, I must guard you tonight. And there are so many other examples as we read hadith and we extract that and we explain that. Point here is tawakkul is extremely important, but we have to develop ourselves again. Tarbiyah. We don't give ourselves to make our tarbiyah. We don't allow ourselves that our Islam may be taken, and therefore, again, we fall into extremes. May Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding of deen and understand these incidents in the correct way, and Allah create the urge in us to progress in the spiritual path till we reach that level, inshallah. So here, Hazrat Ganguly Rahmatullah Ali, he won't even make a hint to a person that way. Obviously, if he found that a companion possessed a resilient temperament and felt sure that this person will be able to bear difficulties and hardships with sabr and patience, then he would make a subtle suggestion to him to give up his means of livelihood and to place his total reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, that's for certain people on who he had genuinely was sure these people will be able to endure hardships. People like who? Hazrat Thaniwi Rahmatullah Ali. When Hazrat Munar Shafari Sahab Thaniwi Rahmatullah sought his mashura in this regard, so Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah told him very clearly, it's permissible for you to keep all your properties. Permissible for you. And if you do not keep them, if you give it away, Allah will never cause you any concern about your rozi. Maulana Muhammad Ismail Sahib Gangohi also was restless with his employment in one area and he wanted to leave. Hazrat wrote a reply to his letter. It contained the following. It is permissible for you to leave your employment if you are able to exercise patience over your unemployment. The rank of an alim, Allah give it to us, the rank of an alim requires that he should remain seated in the masjid and live a life of poverty. If you are able to do this, then leave your employment. However, you should first gauge your temperament and whether you feel you will be able to cope or not. If you think you will not cope and bear the difficulties, then bear the difficulties of your employment and remain there. I'm making dua for you. And then he tells him a wazifa. You must read, Ya Mughni. Ya Mughni. 1,100 times after Fajr Salah. And Ya Basitu. 1,100 times after Isha Salah. Now I know many people will ask me the wazifa again. So we'll take out the number. Read Ya Mughni. Read Ya Basitu. If I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has also given Ya Basitu after the Fajr Salat, I think 11 times. You know our weakness. 1,100 times by the time we finish. Difficult. Read a few times. With conviction. Inshallah we'll find the effect. Inshallah we'll find the effect. Ya Mughni. Mughni means the one that who makes somebody independent. Wallah, make me independent. And Ya Basitu, the one who spreads rosy and other good things. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha. So read Ya Basitu. Ya Basitu. The ta in the end. Ya Basitu. Ya Mughni. After Fajr. And if there's written after Fajr and Isha Salah. So inshallah a few times we read it. Allah Ta'ala will open a rosy for us. And Allah will provide from unseen sources. But again, the important point here is that correct Islah, correct Tarbiyat, if we're able to endure that hardship without any complaint and make sabr, then only this was the indication and direction that the Shaykh gave them. When it came to his qualities of zuhd, asceticism, zuhd again, qat'a ta'alluq ad-dunya. That there was no love for the dunya whatsoever. The dunya is H in the eyes means zero. The contentment, again here, qana'at. We ask ourselves how content we are. The mujahada they made. Patience at times of calamity. Gratitude at times of prosperity. Here we forget. Pareshani, then we run for namaz and everything, we should be doing it. But the moment Allah removes the difficulty and we got happiness in life, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba kiram, ridwanullahi ta'ala, alim ajma'in, the salafi salihin, when good came to them, they made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time of prosperity, they made shukr. Time of difficulty, they made sabr. Then the piety, the purity of the hearts, the sincerity, expression of the abdiyat, the servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the honesty, the forbearance, the loyalty, kindness to the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, a very salient feature. That they would show kindness to every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mona Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah alayhi from Hardoi, in the tafsir of Abrar, our Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib also mentioned, Alladina la yuzuna zur, that they don't even harm ants. And he said, one day in the wuzu khana, Hazrat Mona Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah was sitting at one seat about to make wudu, then suddenly he hops on the next seat, and the next seat, and the third and fourth. Somebody asked, Hazrat, kya ho raha hai? He said, no, I saw ants. If I'm going to open the water, I'll be killing these ants. They're also the makhluk of Allah. So I went to the next seat and I saw the same thing until finally I came to that seat where I could use that tap without harming these makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba were traveling, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw there was a mother bird that had its nestlings. The sahaba took away the nestlings. So the mother bird began to flutter her wings, and she was like very restless. Nabi Akram saw that. Man faja'a hadhihi bi waladiha. Who has made her terrified regarding her children? Ruddu ilayha waladaha. Give her back her nestlings. Think like small nestlings. You give it back to her. Sahaba immediately gave it back. And then as they were traveling, either on that journey or some other journey, he saw that a colony of ants was burned. Who did this? Some of them said, we did. Nabi Akram said, no. It is not appropriate for any person to punish any makhluk of Allah using fire. So even a thing like ants also, we have got no right to harm them. Yes, those insects, and then fuqaha, ulama mentioned those things harmful, going to harm us, then that's a different masala. But unnecessarily, we don't harm them. So this is talking about animals. Imagine the rest of the creation, even a non-Muslim, they would make sure they not only cause harm, they would be kind to that person and show them the akhlaq of Islam to attract them towards deen. Then their chastity, they stayed away completely from zina. Completely from zina. There was no music in their life. There was no viewing of any haram. Our lives are full of all this cell phone and all this social media that come with it. So imagine their lives, you know, when all this mashayikh should come and used to come to shores. We have seen so many of them. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Dr. Sabir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Zakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, all of them, Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. The whole 24/7, the whole day, we spend time with them. The only thing is deen, Islam, even light-hearted discussions, again, involving some aspect of deen, bring our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the marifat of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a second they would indulge in any guna. Such a pure and clean life. You'd wish that we could sit with them the whole day. So chastity. Then the acceptance of Allah's decree. Whatever Allah had decided, whatever the taqdeer was, rida bil qada. They accepted wholeheartedly the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reliance upon the nourish of the world. Of course, they never worried about their rosy. I was just reading now, as the Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullahi mentioned, he said, the difference of these mashayikh, Ahlullah, he said, friends of Allah, and Umara, those very rich kings, both get rosy. But he says that the Ahlullah have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their rosy comes with them with izzat and honor. Unlike those kings, they get their rosy through zillat. If I'm not mistaken, is Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi or Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullahi, that he was teaching hadith. Some person came and insisted he wants to give him some hadiah. And as I mentioned, they were very particular as from who they were taking the hadiah. Obviously, it has to be absolutely halal. No bores on the person. He won't be a person who will remind others or in public, Mawlana, that this thing I gave you, how is it working properly? You see, they want to do it for sure, not for sincerity. So in any case, they will only take, and that too, is they forced to take it because it's nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want to break the person's heart. So the person comes and as a Gangohi Rahmatullah, whoever it was, refused. And then the person went away. He finished, he carried on his lessons. After the lessons, as he was emerging, he placed his leg into his shoe. You know, they had those duties, those shoes where you slip on. He felt something stuck inside. So he called the students, he dust my shoes, my slippers. And those gold coins came out. The same gold coins this man brought, he was genuine. So he put it into the shoe of Hazrat Mawlana and he went away. So Mawlana mentioned, when you give dunya ko ek laad dega, when you give one kick to the world, Allah will make the world come to your feet. So Allah Ta'ala will pour, we have seen mashayikh, they never stretch their hands one day to any person. Not even make ishara. And when those gifts and all come, not small gifts, expensive gifts, they make the person so happy. When he goes away, people sitting around, somebody, you take it. Expensive gifts. And he'll make somebody else happy. They don't keep anything for themselves. May Allah give us the type of quality, inshallah. Then humility, tawazu. The humility. We explained so many examples. Mawlana Madni Rahmatullah, his tawazu. Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah. The love for Allah's sake. The hatred for Allah's sake. In short, every commendable trait and spiritual excellence these ulama and mashayikh, they achieved. He had been endowed with a special and glorious quality of trust and reliance upon Allah Ta'ala. Again, now this is the level that he had reached himself. He didn't force this upon his muridin, especially the beginners. And as the person progressed, then he'll make a subtle hint to him that for you now you can adopt this way. Himself, he had reached that level where he had the special quality of tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during the initial phases of his teaching career, he taught little children. And of course, this is also for ulama. Person shouldn't feel that if I'm teaching in a maktab alif ba, it's very low, ma'adallah. It's khidmat of Quran. Without the alif ba, you can't become a hafiz of the Quran, you can't become an alim. So that apa or that ustad who taught alif ba is doing a very great service. In fact, greater than the others also. So he also taught little children, and thus earned his livelihood in the beginning. This was also in emulation of the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, and other anbiya who spent their early years herding. They were shepherds and tending to sheep. In doing so, they had become accustomed to spending their lives reforming and teaching Allah's creation, tending and supervising his servants. Later on, when he was given the mantle of instruction and the turban, Nabi Kareem SAW became then a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good nubuwat, then he chose to remain aloof from earning his livelihood and getting any remuneration. So these anbiya, these mashayikh did the same. So since childhood, his pure heart had been convinced that once a person devotes himself totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala takes the responsibility of fulfilling that person's needs and necessities. Very important that, as I mentioned, many of these mashayikh had enemies. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Find even every Nabi, Allah Ta'ala had some enemy. Our Nabi Al-Kareem some also. So many enemies he had. So Hazrat's obstinate antagonists, they conveyed false information to the rulers of the time. The result was, those rulers appointed officials to investigate Hazrat Gangohi Ramat's assets. When they eventually arrived in Gangoh and entered the Khanqa, Hazrat was busy conducting hadith lesson. He thus paid no attention to them. When he completed his lesson, this official comes to him, asked him, what was the source of his income? Hazrat replied, tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Official didn't understand what Hazrat was saying, what tawakkul was. He must have thought tawakkul some person's name, and how he earned his livelihood. He started to enumerate all the different means of livelihood. He asked Hazrat, do you practice agriculture, farming? You got any shop, any business? Are you a landowner? You getting rental? Are you employed by any person? Do you receive salary? How much salary you are receiving? Do you practice any craft? Hazrat replied in the negative to all these questions. No, no, no. The official eventually asked, but where do you get your food from? How do you survive? Hazrat replied, I receive from the unseen treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I practice tawakkul. This official, this investigator, lowered his head. He remained engrossed in thinking about something for a long time. Allah knows best what he was thinking of. But he eventually took out a 20 rupee note and offered it to Hazrat. When he was about to depart, Hazrat accepted the note without hesitation and said, this is the tawakkul which is my means of livelihood and regarding which you are questioning me. This is tawakkul. Hazrat never ever dreamt that this official is going to give him money. And the reason why he came to ask, how are you getting money? And he himself takes out money and gives him. Allah shows, this is now how Allah Ta'ala provides. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was in his heart, which was because of the true ilm he had, the knowledge he had, it was the fear of Allah Ta'ala was so well controlled that it was difficult for him to express and display it openly. Such fear was probably not witnessed anywhere else. However, when he would perform his salah during the last part of the night and extend his hands in dua, his condition would be like that of a slave before a king. At times, he would be overcome with emotion and cry uncontrollably. His voice would become subdued. His tears would flow like a string of pearls. His entire body would tremble. Sometimes he would recite a verse from the Quran. He would cry so much that his condition would cause him to stop reading. He would start reading the verse again, stop again. The morning arrived, he would still be reading the same verse. Exact what you find in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in in their lives. Then as I mentioned, seeing to the needs of others, simplicity, informality, were special traits of Imam Rabbani rahmatullahi alayhi. It was the month of Ramadan, and coincidentally, Mawla Habib Rahman Sahib Dioban did not wake up at his usual time for Sehri. He had his time. Mawla Habib Rahman of Dioban rahmatullahi alayhi, Sehri time, he wake up certain time, and that particular day, he overslept. Hazrat went to his door and called out to him. The Mawlana woke up with a fright, went outside and said, Hazrat, why did you inconvenience yourself in waking me up? Hazrat replied, I thought to myself that it seems as if Habib has fallen asleep tonight. The time of Sehri will expire soon. If I did not wake him up, he will remain hungry the entire day. On numerous occasions when the Muazzin had fallen asleep, Hazrat would silently go to the masjid, call out the azan, and return to his room. He would never ask the Muazzin, why did you remain sleeping at the time of azan? And many of us have this terrible habit. Few seconds late, not minute, few seconds late, the Muazzin, human being, few seconds late, and we make such an uproar. Hazrat was soft-hearted, could not bear to see anyone in pain, regardless of whether the person was his own or not, whether he was an outsider. Whenever he heard any exclamation of pain, he'd become restless. And you will recall the incident I gave of Mawlana Gumbir Ahmadullah in the beginning, where he reprimanded Mawlana Yahya, why he hit Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Ahmadullah, his son, and the others, even his own grandson was getting hiding, his son was hitting him. Hazrat reprimanded them. Similar thing mentioned here. Whenever he heard any A'u, he would become restless. Muhammad Ashiq, another person's son, was studying under Mawlana Muhammad Yahya Sahib Ahmadullah. He was a very slow learner. Maulvi Muhammad Yahya Sahib had taught him a specific lesson several times. Still he didn't know the lesson. Out of frustration, Maulvi Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah gave him a hiding. When his screaming reached Hazrat's ears, Hazrat immediately got up from his bed, rushed out to rescue him. In his rush, he did not see a wild fig tree that was in the way, struck it head on with full force. This collision caused him severe pain for several days. He did not show his pain in the least, but he advised Mawlana Muhammad Yahya Sahib, "Bhai, what is the benefit in beating children so much? If Allah has made the brain to learn only a certain amount, will the child learn any more if you beat him?" This is a lesson for all of us, ustads, teachers, even parents also. Sometimes you want your son to become a hafiz, and he's trying. Not that he's lazy, he's trying, but now you are shouting him and you're beating him up. Just because you want him to finish his heaps quickly. No. Once Maulvi Muhammad Yahya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, was the khadim of Hazrat Gangohi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Maulvi Muhammad Yahya said again, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullahi alayhi, his father. Very great buzruk he was. He sprained his leg. Elderly person, he sprained his leg. Because of the sprain, Hazrat Gangohi, rahmatullahi alayhi, did not permit him to go home. Keep him in his room. He would get a person to massage him. When he would come to massage his leg, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali sitting next to him. And every now and then, ask him, how's your leg feeling? Any pain? Hazrat would repeatedly inquire about his condition. And in addition to providing his food and drink, he would see to all his other needs. Just one more incident, we terminate, inshallah. Hazrat Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah, the sincere treatment of his close friends was unparalleled. Once, Hazrat was already on the musalla, about to perform Asar Salah. He's the imam. When he heard someone from the back saying, Maulvi Sahib has arrived. Maulvi Sahib has arrived. Hazrat turned around and he saw Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi. Another very, 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 very great buzurg. He was the son of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi's ustad. So his ustad's son came. Because he arrived on foot, again, talking about those years in India, those villages, they didn't have the means we had. So many times we can't understand. And of course, the carpet was not like ours. So he came, he arrived by foot, and his feet were quite dusty. The moment Imam Rabbani, Hazrat Ganguly Rahman, saw him, he stepped back from the musalla. He said, Maulvi Sahab, do you have wudu? Sometimes the person came, he doesn't have wudu, and he didn't go in front. In that rush, poor man goes in front, then he realizes he got no wudu. So he, now this is all, again, you talk about these people, they saw everything. So he said, if you got wudu, he said, Muhammad Yaqub Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, said, Ji, the Mawlana replied, affirmative, and he stepped onto the musalla with the same simplicity. When Hazrat Imam Rabbani's eyes fell on his feet, he noticed that the dust was reaching up to his shins. Hazrat held on to the front folds of his own clothes, took his own clothes, and he started to dust the dust off Maulana's legs. The Maulana was so preoccupied with his own thoughts at the time. Imagine sometime you told a great person that you perform namaz, now you're thinking what I'm going to read, what surah, and people behind me, your mind is not even engrossed in anything else. So he was so preoccupied with his own thoughts at the time that he didn't realize that Maulana was dusting the dust off his feet. Hazrat Imam Rabbani cleared all the dust. Later on, Hazrat said with much joy, I was extremely pleased to be able to clean Maulvi Sahab's feet. More so because he did not go into any formalities, any takalluf, and he did not refuse. So this was the tawadu, the humility, the simplicity these mashayikh had. They gave their sake for the sake, their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their life was so pure. Yes, if they commit a sin, immediately they would make tawbah, istighfar. And they were concerned about the khalqi khuda, the entire makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how the entire makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most simple and easy and most beautiful way. And therefore we talk about akabir, ulama, dioband. What's dioband? Oh, India, Pakistan, what they know? If you really read, tell me, some of the kitab they have written in Arabic, not Urdu, Arabic. It is difficult to understand the text. You just need, you know, to ponder, and you need somebody to explain some of the explanation they have given, which is extremely beautiful in the field of hadith, in tafsir. So Allah Ta'ala had chosen them. Of course, they went to great tests. Not that their life was so easy and so simple, as we said, Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali, from all the mashayikh, we find he was one person. The people gave him a very, very rough time. People would taunt him and belittle him, but he made the sabr, and Allah gave him such izzat, such a rank. Same with Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate these great people and bring some positive change in our life. Midwat, Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties of the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah guide us towards reaching Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Maut can strike at any time. We have seen almost every second day, janaza. We've already heard, like, just today we went for the ex-janaza. Three people already in that one accident. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is showing us, by who's next? We think, you know, many youngsters also, I was telling the students today, that we feel we'll live still long and then we'll pass away. The baby came into this world, only 7 months visa. 7 months only. So we have to be prepared all the time. Maut must be in front of us. Not just talk about maut, but prepare for the maut. I give the example to the students. I said, think of maut. Okay, you and I might not understand, enjoy this example, but the students immediately say, talk about exams. You get a funny, eerie feeling in the stomach. All that bride you were supposed to have, and entertainment, the weekend, everything, suddenly their faces go so pale. Exams. So even if they're going to eat food, and the best of food they can have, but they're not going to enjoy it because exams. It takes away that smile. Maut. So even if you talk about exams, yeah, we've got exams, writing exams, but you're not preparing, then too there's no. You have to make an effort, take your book, take your kitab and study. So the same thing, we have to prepare for the exams, and then inshallah we will reach that level, which is mentioned in hadith, tuhfatul mu'mini al-maut. The gift, hadiyah of a believer is maut. Why? Because he's waiting to meet his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have we reached that stage? No more, say not now. What's happening? So we have to reach that level. Inshallah, we all can reach the level if we are sincere, purity of the heart, and we are genuine about our Islam. Genuine about our Islam. And when we advise, we accept that advice. And inshallah, we pursue in that way. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, hidayat, wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.